Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Whatever time is most appropriate for you as you are tuning in. Welcome to a brand new day with Stephanie J. It's a gorgeous day out here, and it is a beautiful day. And if you are alive, as I am, I'll say it's a good day. No matter what is going on in our lives, no matter what is going on around us, if we are alive, as someone said, any day above the dirt is a good day. And so I'm grateful. I'm thankful. I don't know about you, but I am so blessed to be alive for such a time as this holiday season. I know that many people are going into this very last end of the year. We're about to go in to a brand new year, but there are many people who have heavy hearts because many have lost loved ones. I have a neighbor who just a little over 2 weeks ago lost his wife. And so this is a sad time for many, and I've certainly been there, and I know the feeling, and my heart goes out to everyone who is dealing with and trying to cope with the loss of someone that you love. But I am also here as a living testimony of the goodness, of the grace of God, because I've lost several loved ones. And each year, ever since the late 80s, I've gone into every holiday, every Christmas, every birthday, every new year without very key people in my life. People that have raised me, one in particular who gave birth to me, which was my mom. She's been gone since 97. And then my brother, my only sibling, he's been gone since 93. And yet I'm still here. I'm still alive. I'm still well, only by the grace of God. So I say that to encourage someone today, just hold on. I know right now you may be facing things. I say this often. I've put it in some of my, books. I am no stranger to adversity. I've been going through ever since I can remember, but I keep getting up. I haven't let go. I haven't thrown in the towel, mainly because I know that there is a God who loves me. There is someone who already had a plan in place for my life. There is someone who knew that my mother would die when I was 26 and she was only 41. There is someone who knew that my brother would be killed at the age of 19 when I was just 21. He knew that my grams would die the following year after my mother in 1998. He knew everything that would take place in my life. And he had a plan. And no matter what the enemy has done, no matter how he has come against me, the word of God tells me that no weapon formed against me will prosper. And I'm sure you can relate to this. I've had many weapons formed. Some of those weapons were by so-called friends or even closer relationships. The Bible says they will form, but they won't prosper. And I'm here to tell you this morning that nothing has prospered against me. I'm not sure if the music is coming through. I'm actually in my truck right now. I'm about to leave somewhere that I was, and I'm about to go somewhere that I need to go. And I just thought, you know what? I just want to take a few moments to encourage someone this morning. I feel so amazingly blessed in this season. The struggles have continued with some of the legal issues, and you know, I've had some health challenges starting the beginning of the year, but you know, it has not kept me down. If anything, it motivated me, and it just keeps me going. Every single day, I have things to do. I have a 14-year-old teenage son who is so awesome, by the way, that I care for. I'm raising him. I homeschool him. You know, there's a lot already going on in our personal lives. And then I have, you know, my personal stuff. And then, you know, I'm still in physical therapy. This is the second round of physical therapy. I'm coming to the end of that, but I've had to go to doctor's appointments, and you know, different things have been going on. But not long ago, I started a new position. The Lord just opened up a door for me, and I don't say a job. It's more than a job. It's something that He's definitely placed me in for this time, this season in my life. And the best thing about it is the schedule and the hours work that I can continue to do the things that I need to do, and I'm getting a paycheck. And so that's not bad. And I started to say, if any music is coming through on this station, I do not own the rights to anything. I'm not even really trying to play it so that the music can be heard out. So anyway, you know, I signed on with a new insurance, health insurance. And for many years, you know, I had Aetna healthcare, and they were okay. They were just okay. But ironically, when I really did need the insurance, I found out that they were just okay. I had a lot of problems after I had the car accident, and, you know, the diagnosis came through, and I stayed with them a while longer, and then I went with someone else. And when I tell you an upgrade, I'm happy about that. I'm feeling blessed about that. They actually care, and their customer service is on point in every aspect. So I'm grateful about that. I started a gym membership. I haven't been in a gym in probably more than 15, 20 years. And I told myself all of these different reasons and excuses why I did not like to go to the gym. For the past few years, I've been continuing to run, you know, walk. I walk trails. I go out to the parks and different, you know, areas. And, you know, I use an outdoor gym. But I told myself, you know, I don't like working out around people. I don't like using all of that equipment. And, you know, I've been very active since my childhood. I grew up in Philadelphia, where we were made to do something. We were made to move. Our physical education teachers, our parents, our neighbors, they kept us involved in things, you know, go outside. My parents, it was just go outside and play, you know. And so we're outside and we're running around with our friends, and we're playing basketball and baseball. And in school, I played volleyball and soccer, and we did gymnastics. And, you know, we did everything. We jumped rope. We were active teens And I stayed active all of these years. I'm in my 50s. I'm still just as active as I was. And so I had been doing, I'm going to date myself. Years ago, you know, when before DVDs became the biggest rave, and they're not now, but I used to buy VHS tapes and I used to work out with, back then they were like fitness gurus, Body by Jake, Donna Richardson, Richard Simmons with the Sweating with the Oldies, and so many different people had, I'm getting ready to say aerobics programs for you to follow along. And I did those things for years. I did Tai Bo. I did Pilates early in the 90s. I've done every type of workout, every type of dance. I used to take, VHSs and then DVDs out of the library. And I've done Brazilian and African and, you know, jazz and Latino and soul and hip hop. And I've done every kind of dance video there is. And most of the time these days, I just put on my music and I dance to my own playlist in the privacy of my home. And so I had been content with that. But I started to notice a few months ago that I started to put on, you know, weight. Nothing excessive. It's just more than I've ever weighed in my entire life. And the reason being is the health challenges, all of these medications that these doctors are prescribing me. Now, I don't take them all. I may take a pill or two. I've had reactions. I've had an allergic reaction. And then at one point, the emergency physician put me on a steroid. Now, I've always been against them. And even when they offered them to me back in January and February, when I would go, I would say, no, I don't do steroids. I don't do medication like this. At best, I would take an aspirin if I felt bad enough. But I'm like, I do not take medications. And, you know, they give you all the reasons why, well, you know, you should, because this will help with this. And the so I went on and I took the prednisone, which I read a lot of reviews about it. And my daughter also told me that she had to use some. And she told me that it, you know, it causes weight gain or whatever. So I was kind of anticipating it. But I'm not happy with the weight gain. And so I decided to do something about it. I joined a gym. And I can honestly say, I actually love coming to the gym. And I think, oh my goodness, all these years I've been missing out. It's a treat for me. First of all, it's a social, you know, a different social setting. But, and I don't come to socialize. I speak to people. I've had a few conversations. I've even had, you know, nice man coming to help me if he sees me, you know, not doing something correctly and things like that. But I see people showing up together and they'll work out and talk the whole time. I see some people not working out and they'll just stand there and move around and talk to people. That's usually the evening crew more so. When I come during the morning or the midday, people are just working. They're just getting it in, more focused. And so that's how I am, but I'm enjoying every aspect of it and I'm grateful for it. You know, technology has even changed everything in the gym. All of this equipment, some of the stuff I've never seen before. I enjoy using the sauna, haven't used the jacuzzi or the pool or anything like that. But I'm just taking advantage of my membership. And I actually can probably say, like, I'm addicted to coming to the gym in such a short time. Like, you know, my schedule is already diverse. I already have a load. I already have a lot to do. But at some point during my day, I'm making it to the gym, Why? Because it's important to me. It's something that I need to do. And the benefit, the plus of it is something that I want to do. We do not always feel like doing, you know, what it is we need to do. And that's when, you know, honestly, and I heard someone say this before, that's when discipline really kicks in. Discipline is doing what you do not want to do. It's not that we're so hyper motivated. And, you know, I was a part somewhat of the huge motivational era, you know, the different motivational speakers coming out to big events. I've never really gone to a lot of, you know, those type of events, but we've had some at work. And then I've done things like that when I sold Mary Kay back in the 90s and, you know, things like that. Churches have brought in people like that. And so I have purchased, you know, motivational information, books and CDs and stuff like that. And it's good. It's all well and fine. You know, periodically, I still like to listen to Les Brown, you know. But I found out very quickly, even back in my 20s, you can leave that place amped up and on fire and you're motivated and it's like, yeah, you know, I'm ready to get this and yeah, I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna do that. And you write down your plans and you take their suggestions and you do the things that they tell you to do. And it may last a few days. It may last a few weeks. It may last a few months. Every now and again, you have to go back to that same motivation, to find the motivation, because guess what? When you get up in the morning, that person is not there in your bedroom, unless you're married to them, which is not often the case. That person's not around to say, all right, hey, get up. You know what you need to do. Come on, get it. Get those gym shoes on. You know, put that down. Get this. Get in your car. Go. That person is not there. And so that motivation still has to come from somewhere. And I found out many years ago, the best place is inside of you. I know my why. I know why I'm doing the things that I'm doing. Listen, I've been saying this for years. Stephanie J does not have time to play. That rhyme. Stephanie J doesn't have time to waste. I don't waste my time on futile tasks. I don't waste my time on people who aren't about anything. I don't allow people to hold me back anymore. I don't allow people's issues to become my own. I don't put myself in the midst of people's stuff. That, you know, everybody needs something. I've been that person. On the one hand, it's a blessing. And on the other hand, I don't think so much. Because I've been blessed to be, as many have labeled me, a very resourceful person. I'm a very caring person. And I'm a very helpful person. I'm a very empathetic person. I've had my own ministry, Necessity for Love, for more than 30 years now. I've been blessed to help a lot of people. I've helped a lot of strangers, as well as people that I know, family members. I've helped a lot of people in so many areas. I've fed many people on the streets of Philadelphia, various parts of Pennsylvania, Norristown, Upper Darby, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Virginia, Maryland, Washington, D.C., I have been a blessing to many people. And a lot of times people know that you have a caring heart. And there are people in my life that have tried to take advantage of that. You know how they say, you know, people will take your kindness for weakness. I'm not a weak person. I'm a very caring person, but I'm also a very strong individual. But I have allowed many people in my life to kind of pull and tug on my heartstrings continually. They always have something going on. They always need something. They always want you to do something. Funny how it doesn't ever seem to manifest or come back around. And that's fine because I don't give just to receive something. But I started to look at different relationships, different people in my life. And I would look at, one day I did some cleaning on my accounts on my phone, and I was looking through my Amazon and my Cash App and my Walmart account. You know, you can put addresses that you mail out, which makes Christmas and so many other shopping trips so much easier. But I literally looked through those accounts and I saw all of these names and addresses of people that I was either constantly or periodically mailing out gifts to. Things just to say, hey, I'm thinking about you, or I saw this and I thought you could use this. And some of them were pastors, people that I was in ministry with, you know, family members, people that, you know, of course, my family, my husband, my kids and things like that. You know, my husband's family members. I had just done a lot. And I'm looking at all of this stuff and I'm like, yeah, delete, 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 delete. Delete, delete. Same thing with Cash App. I had some people that I would periodically send, you know, Cash Apps to, or Cash Apps for certain reasons. But then there were people that I was constantly, I saw their name just a little bit too much. Cash App, this person, Cash App. And two people, I was kind of like navigating between the two of them. And these are people who don't really even show any type of appreciation for the things that I do. And this had been going on for years. And it took me a long time. Some of you understand what I'm talking about. It took me a long time to really let go and realize that, you know what, this is my time. This is my life. I've supported everyone else's ministry. I've supported everyone else's ideas and ventures. I've supported celebrities. I've supported the people that I don't know. I have their movies. I have their books. I've gotten their you know, movies. Some of them I've gone to the movies to see. I've supported. And I know in this season, despite or amid the adversities, there are some heavy things going on in my life, but they don't take priority. They don't take precedence over my health and my well-being. That's why I get up and go to the gym now. I take care of me. I even just bought a hoodie that says self-care first. And the back says you have to take care of yourself first. I bought it because it's a message that I need to drive home to Stephanie. Okay, you've taken care of everyone else. You've raised your children. You've practically raised your husband. But anyway, that's a sidebar, another situation. But I've done my best in every area of my life. And now it's my time. This season, there's been an amazing shift. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for all of the new people in my life. I'm grateful for all of the new environments, the new doors that have been opened. I'm networking with a lot of people. One of the things that I'm responsible for, I'm an office manager. So I manage the entire office and I get to interact with a lot of people. Schools are in the building. I get to interact with the, you know, maintenance facility, the pastor, you know, the children's coordinator, and a lot of their business that they do. I'm the one to handle it. So one of the workers told me about a week after I was there, I think I might have mentioned this, but anyway, it's worth repeating for me. Makes me feel good. But she told me, she said, I like your spirit. Everything that you do since you've been here, she said, you are rocking this. You came in the door just rocking this position. And she told me that last week. But she said, if you just view this position as a ministry, you'll be fine. She said, because it is heavy. It is overloading. She said, I tried it for a very short time, some aspects of it. She said, but it's a very detailed position. She said, but I really believe that you'll do fine. So I go in there every day trying to remember this as I'm going through my tasks. Now, I'll be honest, there are some days that I do not feel like being there. There are some days that I do not feel like being there, taking care of everyone else's stuff. When I have my own household, I have my child at home, I have things going on in my life, I have health concerns, I have legal matters and all sorts of things. But you know what? I put my game face on. And even the senior pastor remarked, she sends periodic emails because we communicate a lot through emails. She's not in my office. I'm not in hers. So we talk back and forth, and she'll say, thank you so much for your presence and for showing up even when you don't necessarily feel like it. Thank you for all that you do. You're a blessing. Well, that feels good to know that finally my hard work and my efforts are being appreciated. And so I just finally got to the point where it didn't matter anymore about what anyone else wanted, what anyone else needed, what anyone else wants me to do, what anyone else feels that I should be doing. Listen, I've taken control and ownership of my life. Finally, it took a long time. And somebody out there listening to this, I don't know who you are. I don't really care. It could be one person. It could be 10. You know, I get analytics. I don't podcast often at all. I'm doing this just to keep my platforms active. There is so much other stuff that I am doing, and not everything is for free. And so, you know, I don't really care who hears this. If it's just one or two or five or 10 people, I hope that you get to the place where you're motivated enough to take your life back, where you're enough to say, okay, enough is enough. I have a message from Les Brown that is entitled Enough is Enough. And I've had that on my playlist for years, and I've listened to it. Every now and then I go back and I'll hear it again. And I'll be like, you know what? That's right. And why did it take me so long to follow through on so many of the things that I needed to do? Some people needed to be out of my life. And I procrastinated and I made excuses and I've allowed them to overstay their welcome. But when I finally got up and did it, oh my goodness, the load was so much lighter. My life just totally changed. And it's like, why didn't you do this sooner? Why didn't you? Like, you knew the signs, you saw what needed to take place. Why did you continue to expend so much? These are the questions I ask myself. Why did you continue to spend so many of your resources? Why did you continue to support these people? It's been a one-way stream, always asking, always needing my support, always wanting me to be there for them. Can you do this? Can you do that? Do you have this? Can you take me here? Can you come here? Can you do this? Can you bake a cake? She's in the hospital. Can you do this? Can you go to the pharmacy? Can you? Yeah, I lived that for so many years, and so much of my life was gated, you know, towards what everyone else needed, from family to friends to in-laws to ministries and all of this. And I finally received the prophecy a few years ago and this woman didn't know me. She's a pastor and her husband's a pastor. They didn't know me. And they both were saying similar things, but she said, you know, she said, no longer are you to take on other people's burdens that are not your own. She said, you carry a lot of burdens. So you know what? I've been like that woman who has been bowed over, Jesus said, for 18 years, so much stuff on her. I can so relate to her and the woman with the issue of blood. I'd been crippled and bowed over for so many years of my life, trying to do the right thing. I grew up in religion. Oh, that's a bad thing. I grew up in religion. always teaching you about giving and giving and giving and sowing and sowing. And it's not a bad thing, because when you do give, you do reap. You reap according to what you give. So I'm not saying anything about that. I've given thousands of dollars to several ministries, including my childhood ministry. I still support after all of these years in various ways, but I'm not talking about that kind of giving. We were taught how to give until you basically give out. And in many instances, I have burnt out. And if you're not careful, and it has happened to me, that's why I'm talking about it this morning. Oh, I feel so good. I feel so light now. And I'm still going through. And I'm still coming through. And I'm still not completely out of the fire. But my load has been lifted. What the trick of the enemy is, he wants you to be offended. And he wants bitterness to seep in. And believe me, I've been there. That's a whole nother podcast. But that's not the intention of the God who created us, the Most High God who loves us. He has a plan. He has a path. He has a destiny laid out. But we don't always follow that path. Sometimes we just do what it is we want to do. And we expect results. We expect things to work out as we plan. It's just like baking a cake. I've baked probably hundreds of cakes in my life. I've done, you know, box recipes. That's how I started out as a kid. And, you know, they give you the powder. It's in the box. And they show you this pretty looking cake, all decorated, perfect on the box. But guess what? If we don't follow those instructions that they tell you, you know, you add the eggs and the water and the oil or the butter, and you do this and you put the oven on and you put it in this kind of pan, or you grease and you flour the pan. If you don't follow those instructions, I promise you, your cake won't come out and look like or even taste like what's on that box. I've done that plenty of times until I mastered to the point now where I make cakes from scratch. And it took me about a good 4 or 5 tries wasting ingredients to get that cake down perfect. But I've baked hundreds of them, you know, since my 20s. But anyway, so we can't just do what it is we want to do and not follow the word and not follow God's plan and, you know, not honor what he is and who he is and who he's placed in our lives. And all of these other components that I don't have time to get into, because I'm going to stop this here in a few and get where I need to do. And I have some things to take care of at home, and just I have studies to do. I have a lot going on. And so I don't know about you, but I got tired of things remaining the same. And so I got up and I wrote a plan. The Bible says, write the vision, make it plain. I wrote my plan. I began to execute my plan. I have typed out plans for both my son and I, in addition to our schedule, in addition to what we do daily. I have a list of spiritual things and a list of important things that we don't need to neglect because we've gotten so busy, because it's a holiday season and all these, the enemy comes to distract and get our focus off of the main things. And so despite all that I have to do, despite all, I'm in and out. Sometimes I'm in and out 3 and 4 times a day. Sometimes I just want to go climb in my bed and not do anything, but that's not possible. Even when I tell my son, laughs, he said, that's a joke for you to even say that you're going to rest, because I know you're not. But there is a time and there's a season for everything. I hope that you and your loved ones have a wonderful holiday season. More importantly, I hope and I pray that you take some time for you. Take some time to sit down and think about what it is that you need, what it is that you need to do for you. Take some time to get you in order, because I guarantee you, if you are not, you will not be good for anyone else. I don't know about you, but I am still looking forward to all that God has for me. I am working my work. I am working my plan. I'm feeling good. Listen, I'm not where I want to be 100%, but I'm definitely much further up the road than I was. And I'm looking forward to that change, that transformation that will take place at the end of it all. And I am not talking about the sweet by and by. I'm talking about the right here, the right now. I don't want to wait until I get to the other side to see my blessings and my rewards. No, I want to enjoy right here, right now. And guess what? According to the scriptures, according to the Bible that I still read daily, the Bible that I live by, it says in John 10:10, "For the thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life." Jesus said that they might have life and life more abundantly. He wasn't talking about in heaven. He wasn't talking about after his return, right here, right now. And that's what I'm striving for. You be blessed.